Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Podcast with all the questions, but if history tells us anything, very few answers. But we'll see if we can fix that today. My guest has just released her debut album, available now on Spotify. It's a big hello to Woods.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for being here. Big day this weekend. How's it gone? How's releasing an album in COVID?
Absolutely not what we expected. We're not, you know, playing any shows or kind of marking the occasion. Yeah. We went out last night and I got to hang out with the band and that was great. But yeah, it feels very momentous to let it go.
Because I think when you release an album to your fans, you then expect to be able to go see your fans and have them sing along, and like that's what you want. So what do you do instead of going out and playing gigs?
Well, so for the last 3 months, I've been building my album in Minecraft and then streaming the whole like process on Twitch. So I've become similar to you with all of this setup you have. Yeah. I've become troubleshooting streaming techniques and plugging in things and trying to work out that, but also building every song on the record in Minecraft.
Wow.
Which is, yeah, it's been a really fun project. Like at the beginning of it, I was like, I'll just dabble. And then I was like, lockdown, level 4. And I was like, yeah. Minecraft is my job now.
Yeah, yeah, at some point you stop being a musician and just start
Yeah, I'm actually a gamer. Yeah. A really peaceful gamer that makes things out of mushrooms and I don't know.
Do you know of any other album that's been released via Minecraft?
So what's exciting, Minecraft got in contact, Mojang, and they said this is a world first. So that's exciting.
Guinness World Record holder.
There we go. I can put it in the book. Big tick for 2020. But yeah, there's been a lot of, I guess, like live music can kind of be, live to a degree. You can do like festivals in Minecraft. There's a bit of that. And there's like Disclosure had a thing where your fans could go in and find parts of the record. But yeah, the kind of building a song.
Yeah.
I guess when I write, it's usually thinking of being in a certain place or terrain. And Minecraft, I don't know if you've played before.
No, I've seen it though.
Yeah, so it's like there's different...
I'm a grandpa.
Yeah, me too.
I've seen it, I think.
Yeah, I've seen it.
Yeah.
There's like deserts and forests and everything kind of generates as you keep walking through the world.
Right.
So yeah, we've just had like a full server for my fans and community. And you can kind of either watch on Twitch or... literally bills.
That's amazing.
Which, yeah, has been really fun.
Has there been time amongst that for sort of Saturday brunches, poring over the newspaper, doing the quiz
Oh man, I was on the way here. I was like, man, I don't know. I'm kind of a bit spooked by the idea of doing a quiz because it's like, yeah, I feel like I can kind of circle, that I can do the radius around the question, but whether I can... get there.
Yeah, nail down the answer.
Sometimes I look at those like really, like you're at the hairdressers and there's the quiz and the kind of ad magazines.
I
can sometimes...
like a celebrity quiz.
Yeah, celebrity quiz I could probably get.
Oh yeah. Unfortunately, we do the hardest quiz in the country. But don't fear, because we have a brains trust here to help you out. I'm sure they'll have lots of knowledge that can go to your answers. First of all, the owner of a bread business... let's say hello to Craig Van Barenson.
G'day, Kyron. Actually, in the business, we call it a bakery, but that's just a little bit of shop talk right off the start. But thrilled to be here. Woods, great to meet you.
Yeah, you too.
And, God, I'm just ready to get into some quizzing.
Are you the baker or do you just own the business?
Well, I guess it's half dozen of one, another dozen of the other, if you will. No, just a little bread joke there. No, I don't bake a lot of the bread myself. I started off in a small little bakery, but I now get to just do the proofing, if you will, the administrative aspect of baking. That's big bread for you.
Because the thing about the bread biz, if I can call it that, is that the hours are very early, aren't they? Because you've got to be there. You know, people want that fresh bread in the morning at 7 a.m. So you...
I used to say I'd get up 2 hours before I went to bed. No, but it was early. It was early. I'd be up there 3:30, 4 o'clock, if I had a sleep in. I was getting up fairly early, and it had a big impact on my life. Actually, I lost a lot of friends, and I was in a pretty bad place there for a little while. But we got out of it, and now I've got the biggest bread manufacturing company, biggest bakery in the Southern Hemisphere. So,
Do you think of yourself as in manufacturing?
I think so, yeah. I mean, what is manufacturing other than the taking of raw goods and turning them into something solid? And I like to think about that. And
not always solid, are they? You know, you can get all sorts of bread, holes in the bread.
We call that the crumb in the game. If the crumb's not having fun, no one's having yum.
yes, of course. Well, thank you for being here, Craig. What sort of, do you have any other areas of expertise other than bread manufacture in case they pop up in the quiz? Any hobbies?
A big part of being involved in bread is trying to blinker myself from basically everything else. So I do have some peripheral interests in milling, mm-hmm. And of course the growing of various cereal grains, and also water purity and yeast. But really, again, they're all very central to my key area of knowledge, and that is the baking and selling of bread.
Is baking the family business? Has this been going back a while, or did you start this off?
It's hard to say. I was estranged from my father from birth, so I don't really know a lot about It's all right. I inherited his name and nothing else.
Well, if any bread questions.
It's good to have that. Yeah.
It's covered. Let's see if we can expand that knowledge base with our second member of the Brains Trust. It's a big hello to, the same surname here, Greg Van Barenson.
Hiya, Kyron. Hiya, Woods. Nice to meet you both. Really excited to take part in the quiz.
You own a butter business.
I distribute butter as best I can. I don't actually make the butter, but I do distribute it, yeah.
And is that you think of yourself in the distribution, like in the logistics game more than the butter game?
Depends who's asking. I would hope that none of my clients are listening to this because the butter is marketed as hand-churned by me. But the business model essentially is I go to dairies, supermarkets, markets. I take prepackaged butter, remove the packaging, and put my own label on it.
Wow, so sort of a swindle, really.
Well, it's not a swindle, unless a swindle is, you know, taking a product, putting a markup on it and reselling that and pocketing the difference.
Yeah, I mean, that's a swindle. I think that would be a swindle.
Agree to disagree.
Okay. And have you always been in the butter game?
As long as I can remember. My father, Greg Van Baren, he was a long-standing butter man. He'd always have butter on his bread. I can remember, you know, childhood's gone past, long summers, you know, rubbing ourselves up in butter to get a nice oily tan, and then taking some of that butter as it melts off the body and putting it onto a fresh baked loaf of bread.
Wow, cumin melted butter.
Yeah, you're not having butter unless you're using it twice.
Yeah. did you say your father's name was Greg?
Yeah, sort
of,
Greg.
Sort of like halfway between Greg and Craig. Which are your names.
Never really thought of it like that, but yeah, it does sound a bit like that.
I have to say as well, I haven't met too many Van Barensons in my time either. I have to say that's a funny one to see another Van Barenson.
It certainly is. An unusual surname. I've not come across any. I used to get bullied in school for the surname. Oh, too many syllables, they said.
When I went to the birth, death, and registry office to put in an official birth certificate to begin the process of registering for my own bakery business. They told me they'd never seen that name before. So
unique.
Yeah, it is. It is. So what are the chances, eh? Greg, I want to say. Yeah, Greg.
Yeah. It's less unique to the power of one today. I suppose I've found a either a rival or a friend of sorts.
I have to be honest, I have as little to do with the butter game as I can.
Yeah.
Slippery.
Chalk and cheese, I really find.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And it is slippery too, well observed by Woods there. Butter can be slippery in the wrong hands, but if you put enough chalk on them...
On the wrong body.
Yeah, or on the wrong body, that's right. Some bodies don't take the butter. You put it on, it doesn't melt. Just this thick lacquer of butter.
These people in the morgue?
That's what happened to my... Yeah, well, I had a younger twin brother. And this is what my dad said. He said we used to put the butter on him and it wouldn't melt. So we pop him in a wicker basket and pop him down the river.
That's actually a funny thing because I have a very low core body temperature. And I can hold a stick of butter all day if I want and it just will never melt.
Wow.
They said they have a... that's crazy, isn't it?
That's almost more unique, I'd say, than the name.
Yeah. It's funny, you know. Wow. Six of one, half a dozen of the other.
What a coinky dink. Well, shall we get into a quiz and see if this comes up again?
Wish we would. Actually, before we do, Karen, I noticed that you didn't ask if I have any other areas of expertise.
Mm.
Well, I thought I was going to cut that bit out, so I didn't I didn't get around to asking you, but I'll ask you, and then we'll see if we can keep it. Greg, do you have any other areas of expertise outside butter?
No.
Great, let's do a quiz. Question number one. Name the 1992 Melbourne Cup winner that died in Bendigo on August 29th. Woods, do you follow the horsies?
I was born that year. and I don't follow the horses.
No.
That's a shame. That's a stinker to start us off because... The radius around the question is quite big. The Melbourne
that radius you discussed earlier.
Yeah, it's like it's very broad. It's like absolutely. Let's fling some things. Exactly. What do you guys think?
It's not multiple choice. There's no logic to be drawn. Yeah, what do you think, Craig?
That'd be you, Craig.
Thanks, Greg. I mean, now just to clarify the question there. So this horse won it in 1992, but lived until 2020,
yes,
and died in August this year
in Bendigo.
That seems very old for a horse, doesn't it? You wouldn't think a horse would get too much past 20, but that's an old horse.
I was of the belief that they euthanized all the horses as soon as they crossed the line, so this has come as somewhat of a shock to me.
I think that's a modern technique they're using these days.
It really, really bothers me to think that these horses are roaming around, you know, free range when they've essentially got no use left in them.
Yeah, I mean, you can't milk them.
No, and believe me, I've tried. I've talked to people who have tried.
Horse butter.
What do you think is the best milk for butter?
Look, as I've said, I couldn't say. I'm not actually familiar with the churning process, but I tell you what the best butter to repackage is, and that's Tararua butter. The foil comes right off, and you can rewrap that absolutely no worries. Sometimes I wish I knew someone with a colder pair of hands so that I didn't leave fingerprints all over some of the blocks, but alas.
This is a big reason why I try not to deal with the butter game, you know? It's just all very... There's an air of nefarity around the whole thing.
We ran out of butter this week, actually, in our fridge, and bread was kind of... I don't know. It wasn't as exciting.
Do you ever need butter if you've got bread? That's what I like to say, you know? What, just have bread plain?
Yeah.
Certainly for too long, I've believed that people have normalised just having a slice of bread sans butter, but so really, did you see people hoeing into a knob or a spoonful of butter without bread?
Well, unfortunately, we're no closer to knowing the name of the 1992 Melbourne Cup winner that died in Bendigo on August 29th.
It's the Bendigo that's throwing me. I could name your horses that died... in other cities around the same time, but the Bendigo's really throwing me off, I have to be honest with you, Woods and Kyron.
Well, I guess at this point we probably just need to throw down the name of a horse.
Bread and butter would be a pretty good name for a horse.
Yeah,
Bread and butter.
Bread and butter.
Bread and
Lock
butter.
It in.
Question...
I think that's a winner, Woods. I think you might have something there.
To a ripping start. Question two. What are the first names of Australian bushman entrepreneur R.M. Williams?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're leaders in their game, just as you were both leaders in yours. Have you ever met R.M. Williams?
Oh, I did meet R.M. Williams once. He said he came in. He said, "Oh, I'm just looking for a place that sells bread." I said, "We don't sell that here." He walked out, and a few minutes later, I realised that the fame had kind of boggled my brain a little bit, because we exclusively sold bread, and I regret that. I do regret that, because it would have been a real thrill to sell R.M. Williams a loaf.
And that was so, you know, I was thinking, as leaders in your field, you might have met at conferences or sort of corporate functions, but you just popped into the store.
Yeah, just at the bakery. Yeah. He was old then. He was in his 80s and very hungry.
Did he mention his name? Did he introduce himself?
Now you're probing me. What, are you going to ask what the day was next, Kyron? Tuesday, I think it was. I think it could have been Robert. It could have been Robert. Then again, it could have been Rimothy.
Yeah, it could have been any manner of words that begin with an R, if you think about it long enough. I mean, one of the big challenges when people, you know, shorten their name to just a letter is it really does leave everything on the table.
Almost.
I would say probably Rimothy M. Williams.
Rimothy yes. M.
The M stands for M.
Yeah.
Wasn't
and
that?
The R stands for Rimothy.
I did think of Roger.
Roger?
Because Roger could be good.
It feels better than Rimothy.
It feels a little bit better than Rimothy. I do, like, it would be the only Rimothy ever. He could have, instead of going R.M. Williams, he could have just been Rimothy.
Yeah,
because you'd get all the URLs. And
the thing is, with a name like Roger, you'd wear that with pride. You'd stroll onto the school ground in your leather boots and say, "G'day, I'm Roger." But Rimothy, you need someone to hide behind. And there's nothing quite like a full stop after the first letter to really create a sort of air of mystery. Although RM could be Roger Moore, bit of a side hustle. I understand the guy was an entrepreneur in addition to an actor.
Mm.
Different timelines?
Almost definitely.
I wonder why you haven't gone for something as cool as that, like the G.V. Berenson, you know?
You get a name like Greg Van Berenson, and you get a father like mine, the great Greg Van Baron, and you pretty much stick to your guns.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot like the mystery that I've had growing up, in that the only thing I have to go by is a pair of shoes of my father's with the letters G.V.B. on it. And
that's the initials of... That's initials of Greg's dad.
Yeah, and also my initials.
Yeah.
It's a small world, isn't it? That Disney ride really, really hit the nail on the head.
What do you reckon? You're Roger Moore?
I don't know. Maybe Rimothy. Mm-hmm. I don't think Rimothy M,
the original.
Rimothy M.
Yeah, happy to put that down.
I mean, we've definitely lost.
Question number three. The Dutch city of Delft is best known for what product?
Are we thinking the name would have, like, would go into the product, or it's just a hot spot for...
I have a feeling that it could be tulips.
Oh, yeah. I do like tulips.
I think it could be tulips, or it could be lace. Or some sort of fusion of the two.
What makes you say that?
There was a Dutch guy who used to come in, and he used to always start the day by... We used to have him in the bakery, and at that time of the day, you kind of always want to try and keep the brain awake. And he used to always just say a Dutch city and its famous thing. He'd say Ghent, and you'd say, "Oh, what?" And then he'd say, "Oh, cheese," you know. He'd say Groningen, and you'd say, "Oh, what's Groningen famous for?" He'd say soil, you know. And and I think with Delft, he either said
it was either tulips or lace.
Tulips or lace, yeah.
Yeah,
or something else.
Greg, where is your butter made out of, and do you hope to one day have it famous enough that the place you make it is, you know, renowned as it?
I mean, it would be very difficult for one place to lay claim to being the home of the butter, because it is pilfered from everywhere.
Mm.
But yeah, obviously the more famous, the better for me. I mean, we're based out of Auckland, but we've been known to import and export butter from as far away as Delft in the Netherlands to even Melbourne, Victoria, where I believe you are.
Mm.
We have a huge amount of trouble with the shipping of the butter, and we've run into all sorts of problems with sort of, you know, the Ministry of Agriculture and, you know, customs.
Oh, customs, yeah.
You've had problems with customs as well, Craig?
Oh, no, Greg, they'll stamp a stamp on any stamp if they want, you know?
Yeah. It's just so difficult, isn't it? You get into it for your passion of repackaging butter, and then you get bogged down in the mire of bureaucracy that involves customs officials rubber stamping all sorts of dairy products that come in and out of various different countries.
This wheat is highly contaminated and shouldn't be allowed into the country, blah, blah, blah. Bloody milk drinkers, the lot of them.
Absolutely. Why don't you shut your fucking mouth, put a block of butter in the microwave and have a piping hot, refreshing cup of butter. Anyway, I think the answer is tulips.
You reckon it's tulips as well? That's two tulips.
It's just, I really like tulips and I've never heard of Delft. But
And that's immediately probably a weakness in our theory.
But I mean, I don't know. Like, yeah, whether it'd be like a specific colour comes from Delft or...
It could also be porcelain, now that I put my mind back to it.
Yeah.
Could be for the Delft Philharmonic Orchestra.
That's true.
That's a great product.
I'd be happy to lock in tulips.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, what a beautiful city if that's the case.
Mm. Oh.
Mm. Well, you'd think that, but the tulips are mainly to offset the hideous architecture.
Question number four. Ornithology is the branch of zoology that deals with what? Ornithology is which branch of zoology? Woods?
Ornithes.
Ornithes.
Do you spend time in the woods as well as being named after it?
Maybe it's the H is silent, so it's hornithology, and we're talking about...
Cows
or lots of different deer.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure.
It's birds.
Oh.
It's absolutely birds.
Oh, you know this too, Craig?
Yeah. We released a series of bread specifically for birds, and the ornithologist did not like it one bit because I used a lot of contaminated grain that we weren't allowed for human consumption, thank you very much, customs. But we were able to sell it as bird food, and turns out if a human can't eat it, a bird certainly can.
Well, exactly. I've always heard that bread is bad for ducks and birds. You don't actually want to be giving it to them.
Big time, but a lot of punters don't know that. A lot of punters don't know that.
And those same punters who aren't familiar with, you know, best practice in terms of feeding birds are a very vulnerable and pliable group of consumers.
Exactly. You know, you've got to know your market.
It really sounds like you're both just sort of out for a buck. Like the industry that you're in doesn't really matter that much. It's really about making that dollar.
Couldn't disagree more.
I agree with that strong disagreement.
Birds it is. Question five. Name the founder of Islam.
Oh, man. I knew that this would be hard.
I wonder if the Van Barensens were religious. Well, actually, I don't. I say that as if you're related.
Well,
I don't know how that could be.
Did you ever go to church when you were youngin'?
No. I'd walk past the church. I'd look through the windows. I'd talk to people as they went in, talk to them as they came out.
Sort of a lurker.
I'd break into their cars and steal their loose change. But I never went in myself.
So you would rob churchgoers on Sunday mornings?
Yeah, naturally.
Right.
It's money that they were going to spend elsewhere. So why not spend it on me?
That's an interesting perspective on stealing.
Yeah.
That's a new take.
Well, I sort of grew out of it when I got caught. And what I would pick up of what they were talking about from inside the church, very rarely did it seem to cover Islam. So I don't know that my sort of my dealings are of too much practical application on this quiz question.
Craig, did you ever go to church as a child?
No, I didn't. Not having known my biological father and just being found in a wicker basket in a river, I didn't know to which religion I belonged, and so therefore felt that it would be an injustice if I were to engage in any of them. lest my true God be angered or a false God be worshipped. But, you know, I like to think a lot about that age-old axiom that give us today our daily bread. And I certainly bank on that one, Karen. But through that, it does remind me of some of those other axioms and commandments, if you will. And one of them is around prophets. And I wonder if the founder of Islam might indeed be the prophet Muhammad.
Certainly the name I would most associate with the religion, but like I said, they were mostly talking about something completely else when I was walking past the church.
Yeah, and I want to really clarify that I'm really in the religious aspect just for the bread.
My mum is gluten intolerant, and every time we go to church, she walks up and gets the bread and then it's like, ah. Cause it, I mean, it's a couple times a year. It's not like she forgets every Sunday, but...
But she does forget every time.
Yeah, she forgets every time.
What does she do?
And then she's
the
like,
bread?
Oh, no. Like, she eats it. And I'm like, ah. It's like, yeah, on Christmas. And then she has regrets. But I don't know how much bread is in those tiny little biscuits.
Well, I'll tell you this, Woods. As somebody who regularly manufactures those little wafers for the church, there is very little bread in them.
Yeah. What are they made of? Are they made of something? Are they... they're at least edible.
Oh, yeah, they're edible in the same way that cardboard or paper or really anything is edible. It's the nutrition that you gain from it that makes the distinction between edibility and potability.
Right, which is where the water is good to
drink.
Yeah,
it's where you take the water out of it. But
do you want to say the Prophet Muhammad?
Yeah, that sounds good.
Question number six. How old was Donald Trump on election day? How old was Donald Trump on election day 2020? Mm. You're American, aren't you?
I am American. That was a good...
So you must know the birth year of your favourite president, I'm sure.
Oh, man. I know he's in his 70s. And also election day, it was a long process. It went for longer than one specific day. So it's...
Well, but, I think in this instance they are referring to November 3rd. So
okay.
This is...
I think I know this one.
Was he 74? 70?
That's what I would have thought too, yeah. 74.
Because is Biden older?
Biden's 77. But he's definitely older. He's old. I got reason to believe he's the oldest man alive.
What's that reason?
He's just so old. I mean, he's 77 from birth, yeah. But the guy's 150 by any other metric. He is old.
Yeah. Did you see him jog to his acceptance speech?
Oh. I did.
Yeah.
It was, I don't know. I mean, I'm happy. I'm happy for America, but that guy is old. He's gonna die. As we all will, but he'll probably die sooner on account of being so old he is already on death's door.
So do you reckon they should have gone with a younger, more sprightly president like Donald Trump?
I would have picked Donald Trump for being a day over 30.
Yeah, now, there's a man who's been lathering in margarine. I could tell that horrible orange hue, you know, from anywhere.
Ah, of course, because margarine...
It's not good.
It's not a slice on butter,
is it? It's made from plastics. It'll make you sick.
Budget option for a tan.
It's a huge threat to the butter industry, and I won't stand for it. You know they put toxins in that stuff.
And if they don't, you certainly would. Am I right, Greg?
100%, and I do. That's how I know they're in there. 74.
Is that about the age of your dad?
Yep. Greg would be 74 today.
Yeah, it's his birthday today.
That's right. He didn't want to celebrate. He said he was reflecting on decisions he's made in the past. He spoke sort of quite wistfully as he walked out the door about reuniting with... I don't know about what in particular, but he was mumbling about something.
To have a dad.
Mm. Right, I'll put down 74. Question number seven. Dave McCormack, who voices Bandit in the animated children's series Bluey, fronted which Australian band in the 1990s? A, Trifle. B, Crumble. C, Custard. Or D, Jelly. I have a feeling that the musician in the room might know this one. So first, we'll go to Craig. How old were you in the 1990s, Craig?
Gosh, do you want that in baker's terms or human years? No. I would have been just coming up on 41.
41, just as you hit the 1990s.
And ended it on 50.
Are you sure?
Oh, you know, as sure as I've ever been. Right. 51 in 2000.
Turned 51 in 2000.
Likewise.
Oh. Likewise, which means that you must be about the same age as your dad, Greg.
No.
I've done a mischief there. I've used a baker's term. I was actually just coming up on 31. 31 in 2000.
Yep. Yeah. And were you using the baker's term as well?
No. Well, I don't use traditional aging metrics, but so 51 by my calendar, but if you're following the more traditional sort of Roman calendar, I was turning 31 also.
Great. Glad we fixed that.
It's funny because every baking, every industry, every craft to do with food will have their own counting system. So if I came in and I said 51 loaves of bread, my Sue baker would immediately know that he needed to assemble 31.
Wow. What is the algorithm for that? I don't know. That's
massive. It's very complex. That's most of baking school.
Yep. Yes, learning that algorithm. Do you think it would be quicker and easier just to adopt the sort of day-to-day maths that we use?
Oh, well, they say it was quicker and easier for the Germans to adopt fascism, Kyron. Didn't make it a good choice, did it?
No. No, I think we can agree it didn't. What do you reckon, Woods? Trifle, crumble, custard, or jelly? One of them is a band that Dave McCormack fronted.
I feel like custard feels the most correct to me because I can't think of any. Yeah, I don't know. There's something about that.
I think I remember custard as a band.
Yeah, it's a cool name. If it's not a band,
it's my second favorite yellow foodstuff after corn.
Question 8: True or false? That's good news.
Woo!
Harry Potter creator J.K. Rowling was born in Scotland. Harry Potter creator J.K. Rowling was born in Scotland. Did you read the books, Woods?
Absolutely. I feel like it really defined my childhood. I was a kid that would go to the bookshop Mary Who in Townsville and line up in costume on the day. It's at 9:01. It would go on sale, just like the train. And we'd just have this big line around the corner, and I was in the newspaper a few times in full costume.
Wow.
Yeah. And I also did that with the movies, but slowly, like as you get into high school, less people dress up, but you still do. That's cool. But yeah, I feel like yes about Scotland.
Well, even if you dressed up and self-identified as a witch, I understand that J.K. Rowling would disagree. She very forcefully insists that you are a muggle.
Yeah, I never got the letter. We actually,
she's quite bloody-minded with her designations. Oh.
She is, isn't she? Very particular.
Yeah. It's not great press for, I don't know what she's doing this year.
I think mostly she's telling trans women they aren't women.
Yeah, which
That's the main thing she's been doing this year.
That is keeping her busy.
Yep.
So busy and so angry.
And not too many buyers for this product that she's shipping at the moment.
It's an odd choice for an eighth book, yeah.
Yeah.
I think she has a Scottish accent, which leads me to believe Scotland.
I feel as though this is trickery because she famously wrote the Harry Potter books in Scotland, and that's where they're trying to get us, because there's a cafe. If you go to Edinburgh, there's a cafe, and their entire marketing scheme is J.K. Rowling wrote the first Harry Potter here.
Oh.
And if they spent the same amount of time and energy on their baked goods, you know, they might no longer have to anchor their business around this one piece of trivia.
Yeah.
Yeah, I also have a feeling that she might be from the Forest of Dean in England.
That's specific knowledge about J.K. Rowling.
Yeah, it was. There were three things in that basket when I washed up on the riverbank. One was a pair of shoes with the initials GVB. The other was an empty wrapper for a crunchy bar. And the third was a piece of paper that said J.K. Rowling might be from the Forest of Dean. It was very nonspecific.
And that's crazy. Do you know one of my earliest memories is holding an unwrapped crunchy? It's not really tethered to anything, but I remember as a baby, it came to me in a dream once. I write down all my dreams, and I could trace back this memory of just holding an unwrapped crunchy and saying to my dad, who was barefoot at the time, "Where's the wrapper?"
That's such a wild carryover. I mean, it really is a small world, isn't it?
Yeah.
I hope you get closure on whatever happened that day. It certainly seems to bother your dad.
I hope we get that closure within two questions. Do you want to put true or false for Harry Potter creator was born in? I mean, often, you know, the police will turn to criminals to learn more about the criminal world. And, you know, if this is a trick question, you know, Greg's a trickster. Perhaps he's got some sort of inside knowledge.
I'm not some sort of trickster.
We've established this. You're a swindler. You stole from people.
Man.
You stole from people outside
church. I found
the loophole
in the butter market that I look to exploit on a daily basis.
Mm.
Yes, I stole from people at church, but I only did that because they left money in their cars. And if that's a crime, then you can lock me up.
That's an admission right there. True or false, you reckon, Woods?
I'm led astray by the idea that, yeah, she did write the books there, but I don't know. I want to say true, but maybe it is. If it's false and we say false, we'll be very happy.
And the same is true if you say true and it's true.
What happens if it's true but we say false? What happens then? How do we feel in that hypothetical?
Not as good.
I really feel like she's British.
Well, then we'll go false.
False. All right, we'll
Let's
put down
do it.
False. And I'll put in brackets Forest of Dean. Question number 9. Who wrote the novel Fahrenheit 451? So we're sticking on the book theme, but switching topics. Have you read Fahrenheit 451? Did you line up around the block dressed up?
Unfortunately not. I'm not too across Fahrenheit 451.
451?
451.
What about you, Greg?
Not a big reader. So I didn't read Fahrenheit 451. I, of course, watched the made-for-TV adaptation. Absolutely loved it.
Greg, are you a big reader?
Well, actually, it's not particularly, but Fahrenheit 451 is, of course, the temperature at which paper burns. It's also the temperature at which the crumb begins to rise in bread. And in the game, we sometimes call that the Ray Bradbury. We say, oh, that's a Raymond Bradbury.
When it's rising.
No, when it's 451, we go, oh, it's hit 451. I think we've hit Raymond Bradbury. And I don't know if that's a reference to the author of that book. But it could help. It also could be wrong. I could be misremembering what we say at that temperature. Yeah. But I think that could be the author.
That could be the author.
Or it could be just a complete non sequitur that we say at that temperature after a Ray Bradbury who loved watching the crumb rise.
Do you like to read? You obviously, I mean, when you got out of the wicker basket, you had a note about J.K. Rowling. So one of the first things you ever got was the written word. Has that inspired you through life?
Certainly, yes. Read a lot of great books. I've read Bake by Dan Leppard, Bread by Dan Leppard, Bake Essential Companion.
Who's that by?
Dan Leppard. And, of course, The Complete Pies and Tarts by Margaret Fulton.
I think we've lost something with the written word, haven't we, these days? You know, like, I'm sure in that original note, like that sort of that old world calligraphy that people used to have, you know, by someone's hand.
That's true. It had a very distinct style. I actually got it tattooed on my arm. I can show you there. That's the exact typography of the note.
J.K. Rowling was born in Forest of Dean, tattooed on your arm.
Yeah.
That's very similar to the font that my father, Greg, writes in. And I would know that because I've spent a long part of my life forging his signature to counterfeit various different checks, withdrawals from banks. But that is, to a letter, almost identical on what has been described by a handwriting expert as the most idiosyncratic writing style he has ever seen. Unbelievable.
I think there's too many coincidences here. Are you sure you're not related? You have the same surname. You were found with a crunchy wrapper, and you remember holding a crunchy with no wrapper. You know, you work in the bread game, you work in the butter game. You know, you have a long lost father, and you reckon you might have some sort of crisis that your father's going through at the moment, perhaps about reunion, about reconnection. And here, just now, you say that font tattooed on Craig's arm is precisely the same font used by your... Are you sure you're not brothers?
I don't know, Karen. Just because a donkey's eating truffles doesn't make him a pig, you know?
That's right. I think you're grasping at a variety of disconnected loose ends there and trying to weave them into some sort of unified string or rope. But I'm pretty sure I'd know if I had a brother called Craig Van Barenson.
Yeah, I think I'd be pretty sure if I had an exactly identical to me guy called Greg Van Barenson that I was related to. You know?
I mean, you even look similar. Like, you look very similar.
It is a spinning image, I will say that.
Yeah, I've been confused at times knowing which one is me on the screen. But, you know.
On this Zoom here.
Blame the postman.
I mean, there's so many coincidences here. I think it's almost a refusal to believe that you're related.
I guess we'll never know.
If only there was some way. If only there was something that pushed it over the edge. But alas, we instead have this unconnected list of coincidences.
All right. Well, yep. I mean, Raymond Bradbury. What did you say, Raymond Bradbury? Is that what you say when the bread rises or the temperature hits?
Yes. And as I've said it, I've started to wonder if maybe it is incorrect, but, you know, it's a fun thing to say.
We'll find out soon enough. Do you want to put Raymond Bradbury down?
I do like the idea that someone called Greg just had two sons and was like, Greg and Craig, like, just, that's beautiful.
Let it go, Woods. That's not what happened.
This is like, what should I call these children of mine?
I mean, it's beautiful. Another coincidence.
It'd be like a fairy tale, that, I'd say, you know?
Yeah.
Speaking of fairy tales, question 10. Who was Queen Elizabeth I's mother? Who was Queen Elizabeth I's mother?
Is that on the next season of The Crown?
Do you follow family trees, Craig?
Oh, almost exclusively. As a man who's been desperately trying to find his dad... I'm obsessed with family trees.
What sort of hunt do you hunt around for clues when you're putting them together?
Oh yeah, I mean, I look at things. What evidence do I have to go by here? You know, I have my name. I have the Van Barenson. It's such a unique name. You kind of start to piece things together. I've managed to find a grandfather, a maternal grandfather named Greg. I managed to find a great aunt called Greg. But you know, that's about.
I've got a great great aunt Greg as well.
It's wild how some names drop out of fashion. You know, they were obviously common.
I mean, my family is littered with Gregs.
Yeah, and mine
then,
too.
You know, you look further down the line and it's like the name just totally disappeared off the face of the earth.
Yeah, well.
Not unlike this identical twin brother I've been promised.
Mm.
So they've been split into two separate personalities, you know, and held apart for all of their roughly 51 years.
31, I think we... 31?
Yeah, yeah. 31 and 2000.
31 and 2000.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
I'm so now I'm about 49, 50-ish.
Yeah. I'm 76 now, but in Baker's terms.
In
so.
Baker's terms, of course.
It is interesting the way names come and go, really, isn't it? Yeah, Elizabeth the First of England.
So yes. Now, Mary, she oversaw the execution, if I remember back to bread school. Elizabeth the First oversaw the execution of Mary, Queen of Scots, which means that she was trying to stop the Stuart pretenders, which makes me think that she must have been a Tudor, potentially.
Sure.
So therefore, perhaps her...
I feel like Elizabeth was a... Are you saying Elizabeth was a Tudor?
Yeah, or was she a Stuart?
I think she was on the tail end of the Tudors, but again... So what then, would I know? I didn't go to baking school.
So what's the question again? Who was her mother?
Yeah.
Yeah. Who was Queen Elizabeth's mother? So we'd need not just the Tudor, but also their first name.
So it would have to be Henry.
But then didn't Henry have seven potential wives that could...
But he had to, it had to only be the one that was legitimate. It's just like when you're baking a loaf...
This is why they teach it to you.
You make a baker's dozen, there's 13 loaves there. One loaf will always be illegitimate, and you have to determine a strict hierarchy of legitimacy and enforce that through religion and the courts. Otherwise,
that's why you get up so early.
Exactly. You don't want to get into violation with the Magna Carta. So I think if her mother was a Tudor, could it be Anne of Green Gables? I mean, I'm just remembering back to baking school, so this is, you know, this is 30-odd years ago.
Shall we jot down Anne?
Anne is good, yeah.
Anne is good. That's 10 questions. How do we think we did? Woods, what are you hoping for out of 10?
Oh, man, like 3?
Yep. Well, that's our lowest score so far. Any lower than 3 would be the worst.
No!
The worst score that we've had. The highest is 8. What do you reckon, Greg?
I don't disagree. I think the highest score you've had so far is definitely 8.
And are you hoping to top that today?
Obviously it would be nice. I would say it is highly unlikely.
Uh-huh.
I think we've performed pretty poorly.
Full credit to the team, full credit. It was a quiz of 2 halves and we put in the yards.
Well, let's dive into the first half and see how we did. Question number 1 was, name the 1992 Melbourne Cup winner that died in Bendigo on August 29. You said bread and butter. The answer was Sub-Zero.
Yes.
Bread and butter, of course, died on August 25th in Ballarat.
Question number 2 was, what are the first names of Australian bushman entrepreneur R.M. Williams? You said Rimothy M, but the answer was Reginald Murray.
Damn, Reginald is such a good name.
It isn't. Yeah. He shouldn't have hit that.
The Dutch city of Delft is best known for what product? Both agreed it was tulips on the Brains Trust, but unfortunately it was pottery.
Oh, no, that was so close.
Question 4, ornithology is the branch of zoology that deals with what? You said birds. The answer is birds. One right.
Yes.
We got that.
Question 5, the name, the founder of Islam. You said Prophet Muhammad, and that's correct.
Woo, thank you.
So in the first half, 2 out of 5. Let's see how we do in the second half. Question 6.
A baker's half.
How old was Donald Trump on election day? You said 74, and that's right.
Yes.
On a winning streak here. 7. Dave McCormack fronted which Australian band in the 1990s? You said Custard, which is true.
Yes.
Question 8. Harry Potter creator J.K. Rowling was born in Scotland. You said false, and it's false.
Hey.
She was born in England. No reference to the Forest of Dean, unfortunately.
Dang.
9. Who wrote the novel Fahrenheit 451? You said Ray Bradbury, and it's Ray Bradbury.
Yes, that's a really good... Well done.
That was a really good one.
Yeah, that's very specific.
Thank you, bread temperatures.
And question 10, who was Queen Elizabeth's mother? You said Anne, and it's Anne.
Yes! Oh, man. Thank you.
7 out of 10.
Second highest score we've ever had. Wow. Well, literally, it wasn't me. Thank you both.
I know. It's almost like their minds united to bring this quiz together. Between the two of you, you sort of have two, like the perfect halves of the same brain.
It's just a shame that we'll never see each other again after this.
It is a it's a real shame. It's so unlikely to meet such a like-minded and faced person.
Yeah.
But beyond uniting to perform this quiz with Woods, I cannot foresee a circumstance or reason that I'd ever associate with Craig Van Berenson, my unrelated namesake.
Especially working in the industries that we do. Much like oil and water, bread and butter, never the two should meet.
Well, I think to celebrate, I'd like to welcome you both to Comedy Republic, a new comedy theatre that's opening in Melbourne. Perhaps you could meet there and, you know, see if you get along, maybe talk about old stories and...
show each other our birthmarks and the such.
Yeah.
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 Oh, yeah, I could get down with that.
That'll be good. Actually, that's, I think in the future there's a few comics that we're going to have on that could be a good night to select. Hopefully, if the borders open, we're going to get over from New Zealand. Guy Montgomery one day, I'm sure.
Aye, yeah. That guy. Nah, you don't want that guy. That guy's a dog shit comedian. He steals all of his jokes from churchgoers.
And prepackages them.
Yeah, that's right. Dresses them up as his own, but I know.
Yeah, I've seen it happen before. I saw him dress up some jokes once as Carlo Ricci's jokes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it would have been hard to get all that Titanic gear into shape, I tell you what. What a hack that Carlo Ricci is.
If you're going to steal jokes, at least do better than taking them from Carlo Ricci.
Yeah. You may as well just open an encyclopedia and start reading it out and pretend that it's comedy.
Well, Craig, Greg, Van Berenson, I'm very thankful for you joining us today. I nearly got that sent it out.
That's all
thanks
right.
For coming, both of you.
This is a perfect timing. I've just got a text from my dad saying there's an impromptu family reunion.
That's weird. Well, I just got a text from a complete stranger saying the same thing.
Do you think maybe that's the same sender?
No, I can't imagine that.
Woods, thank you very much for joining us today. Congratulations on the album.
Oh, thank you.
It is called Crystal Ball. It is on Spotify right now. If you leave this podcast, I can't think of any other podcasts worth listening to. If you leave this podcast, head over to Spotify, search Woods.
Thank you.
That was Wax Quizzle. Thank you very much for joining us. Have a good time. Goodbye.